Hi there, it's Rachel Zabonik-Chanko here for another episode of the Club Solutions Magazine podcast. Today's guest is Amber Martinez, the operating partner of Gem Brands, which owns and operates a number of Crunch locations across the U.S. Amber has been attached to the Crunch brand for many years and is a perfect example of servant leadership. In this conversation, we talk about all things leadership, from being accountable to holding your team accountable, having tough conversations, and much more. Amber's passion for leadership in the industry shines through, and I was thoroughly inspired by this episode. I hope you are too. Let's get to it.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you see me?
Yes.
Okay. I was on a call earlier and my camera would not turn on. So I was like, we're going to do the best we can today. But
oh my gosh. Yeah. I hate when technology doesn't cooperate.
I know. How is that even possible? You're supposed to be the smartest technology. Come on.
Yeah. How are you?
Great. Yeah. Busy. It's been an awesome January. I think I just have such a deep appreciation for a great old school January. You know, this is our Super Bowl and it's been a lot of fun. And you know, family. I never talk about anything other than Crunch. I think I have to work on that. But family's also really well. My daughter and her water polo are crushing it. So she's inspiring. And
my husband's
great. Yeah. Running Crunch gyms in the city. So it's all good. How are you?
I'm well. I also struggle to talk about my personal life. it's so weird.
I'll get like 20 minutes into a conversation, which also is something I need to work on, which I'm not sure at 47 I will work on that. But I get into a conversation, I'm thinking, I haven't mentioned one thing about me personally, my family. Like, I'm a mother. I have an amazing daughter. I have a great husband and a dog.
Can't forget the dog.
But I think there's something to that, though, and I catch myself, and it's not that they're not at the center of my universe and so important and bring me tremendous joy. They do. But I think when you find what you're meant to do in life, you're just so excited to share it with everyone. And that's what I found is like, I just always go back to Crunch and fitness and helping people and leadership because it's something I love. So.
Yeah. Well, you've been, you know, attached to the brand for what, 30 years now?
I was thinking about that this morning. And so I started with Crunch in 98 in San Francisco at the Van Ness location. But I actually started in the industry at a small mom and pop gym, local gym in 93. So it is 30 years in the industry. I've been connected to the Crunch brand since 98. So I think that's like 27-ish years. Yeah. And then I just, you know, the parent company had many different brands. So I moved around, but I feel such a strong connection to the Crunch brand and just our values and what we stand for and the experience we create, that it's just always been such an influential part of my life, the brand. I grew up at Crunch. And so, you know, I think about myself and I'm like, I wouldn't be who I am today without this company and this brand and these people that have influenced me as a person. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. It's definitely not just a
boss. Yeah, no, that's very cool. Well, yeah, tell me about, you know, the reintroduction of Crunch with Gem Brands. Just tell me kind of how, you know, what led to that and how you got here.
So I was with Crunch franchise for a few years. And I was the vice president of sales, which was super exciting and rewarding. And I was honored to be trusted and given that opportunity. But at a point in, like, I think after, you know, 2020, and then we're pretty deep into 2021, we experienced a lot of things that we had never, you know, and even in all my years, it was just such a different experience. And I was able to work on the operating protocols and the readiness plan for all of our franchisees. And so I got to roll my sleeves up and really immerse myself in the full business, which was super rewarding and exciting. It was exhausting, like 15-hour days. And you're like, people's livelihoods are, you know, I'm responsible, but it also opened my eyes to like my desire to grow and make an impact on the business and the full business. So I had an opportunity to go and work with some friends over at Pound Rock Out Workout as the chief operating officer. Really cool brand, really great people, really fun. And so I jumped in to do that and help kind of reposition the company post-COVID, right? And I learned a lot, met a lot of really wonderful people. But then, you know, I think it was about a year and a little bit over a year in with Pound, Jim Rowley, the worldwide CEO of yes. Crunch, reached out and said, hey, I think there may be an opportunity for you to come back. Are you interested? And I said, well, I'm always interested. And I trust him. And I know that he knows me and my style. And if he thinks it's worth a conversation, I'm going to have it. So he introduced me to Alex Murphy, the COO at Atticus. And then we have our subsidiary, which is Gem Wellness Brands. But he introduced me to Alex and we talked and got to know each other for several months before deciding to join the Gem Wellness Brands team. I think I did that in like November 11th, which is also my wedding anniversary. So there's something
okay.
Like I have a lot
something
to
in the air on that day. That's awesome.
Jem was sending me cookies. I think my husband brought me home some flowers. I'm like, this is a good day. But yeah, we made it official in November. And again, we got to know each other for several months. I got to know more people at the office, Mike Drum, our founding partner, Allie Maddox, who runs is head of people department. And everyone I met was just so wonderful. And it was just really exciting opportunity to get in with a group of super smart people that are focused on people and doing what's right by the business and being super smart, super savvy, well-funded, over a decade of experience in franchising. And so, you know, me having this opportunity to join as an operating partner, run the brand that I love, and get to open up 75 more stores in the U.S., like, how do you not take that opportunity, right?
Yeah, so, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's what led me to Gem, and that's ultimately why I decided to jump into this new role as operating partner.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, you mentioned that you guys have a goal of like 75 locations. Can you just give me an update on how many you have now?
So we acquired the 6 in Sacramento. And the interesting thing, you know, there were like the founding fathers of Crunch, right? The 5 original franchisees yeah. who started, you know, what, 15-ish years ago. And Rockland, Crunch Gym in Rockland, was one of the first gyms to open under one of the founding fathers. And so there's just so much history there. And I had an opportunity to work with that group in my previous role with Crunch Franchise. So it was exciting to start with Gem there because I felt like I'd already had connections, relationships, and roots there. And that the brand had already, you know, we have such a presence in that market. So we acquired back, when was it? December 16th of 2022, we acquired the 6. In May of 2023, we ran it as a traditional pre-sale, but it was really transferring our Howe Avenue location, which has so much history, transferring, closing that gym. We said we were sunsetting that gym because it was just so sweet and had so many memories. So in May, we started that project and we launched our pre-sale and we transferred all of our members over to our newest location at Crunch Market Square in Sacramento. So we have 5 legacy gyms and 1 new Gem Wellness Brands, Crunch Fitness, in the Sacramento market. So still 6 units. And then we're right now getting ready to close on a new market, entering a new market that has never had Crunch before. So that's super exciting to me. We're going to pick up 4 stores. So we're going to open up 1, probably looking about July, August, and then every month thereafter, open a new store until we get all 4 opened in this new market. So that's exciting.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you guys have a lot of exciting momentum. So that's great.
Momentum. That was a word that we used last year because every time we're like, we can't lose momentum. And then it would just get better. And we're like, okay, we're really tapping into something great here because we know that momentum, as quickly as you have it, you can lose it. And we, you know, you look at all, you know, we could use the Super Bowl right now, right? And it's like all of these teams fighting to win. And it's like, you have that momentum and you dominate, but you drop the ball, you lose the play, and the other team can win by a point. And so for us, we're just always looking for ways to fuel that momentum and keep the excitement going and continue to build the brand awareness. So opening up in a new market, having one of the oldest markets, right, in the Crunch franchise network, and then opening in a brand new market is super exciting, right, in the differences and what we get to bring to that market. And then we're also going to open up some more stores in 2024 in Northern California.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, this is a perfect segue into what I, you know, wanted to talk to you about in general, which is leadership. So, you know, you touched a little bit on, you know, momentum and kind of how challenging it can be to maybe keep that in a team. Do you have any advice or insights, especially as you guys have kind of gone through this, you know, growth phase over the last year and a half?
Yes, I do. And leadership is something that I love to talk about. And if you were to ask me what's my favorite part of my job, there's a lot of favorite parts, but really leadership is what gets me up every day. And it's what keeps me inspired is that I have the privilege of working with individuals and they trust me to guide them and help them grow and learn and make an impact. And what I found, it's really very simple. Sorry, my dog has an opinion here too.
That's okay. We do not want to silence the dog.
She loves when I get on calls, she can't help herself, but and it's always she gets very excited. Brooklyn, I'm talking to Rachel. So it's really what I found, and it's people are always looking for the silver bullet or what does everybody need? What's the formula? And when I break it down, it's really the most simplest thing. It's like, we just have to treat people like people, yeah. Right? And know as leaders that it is our responsibility to guide them. And anyone that's on my team, yeah. I believe they deserve to be led well, right? And so it's not a matter of hiring somebody and saying, oh, I've got the wrong person, or, oh, they're not working out. Well, I take the personal responsibility and with my above club leaders to say, what's not working? And how do we identify where the miss is and how we improve, right? And so that's been the key to ultimately my leadership success is really just looking at each individual, committing to leading them well. And it's not momentarily or one day I'm on and I do a good job, but it's every day being consistent so that they see the behaviors that I'm modeling, right? And I also think it's really important. There's a few things. Do I have a few minutes to go?
Yes, go for it. Keep going.
It's going to be one of those 20-minute soliloquies. So everything starts with, again, treating people like people, right? It doesn't matter what position I hold or what position you hold. We are all people. We're all choosing to be a part of this organization. So let's give everybody we touch the best of us and to see the best in them. And I live by this saying, and anyone that's worked with me knows, I just say, whether you're with me for a short time, a long time, or a lifetime, I want it to be impactful. And I want it to be impactful on you as an individual and as on you as a professional. And that's my commitment, right? And I also think there are some other key things that attribute to our team culture, the leadership, is trust and belief. Right? We have to trust each other. These are relationships, real human relationships. It works in our personal life. It works in our professional life. You can't compartmentalize that stuff, right? And so it's building the team based on belief and trust. If I cannot trust you or believe in you and you can't trust me or believe in me, then we shouldn't be doing this. And there's something better for both of us because you got to go live in that space where you feel seen, heard, respected, where there is a common thread of trust and belief. And when you do that and you take away the fear and the doubt and the questioning and people feel comfortable to come and talk and be themselves. And, you know, people on my team, something that they say often that I love is at Crunch, I get to be unapologetically myself. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't be where I am today because I'm unique, very unique. And so if my mentors didn't see the good in me and lean into that, right? And that's what they did for me. They saw the best in me. They poured into that. And as I was rising through my strengths, I also started to develop my weaknesses. And so those are just some core fundamentals and, you know, constant training and development. If we want people to do more, if we want them to learn more, if we want them to grow, make an impact on the business, be aligned and shared at our vision and mission, I have to pour into them and give them that training and the tools so that they can go and grow and thrive. And so that's just a constant part of what we do here. So that, again, it makes it so much more than just a job or a gym. I'm like, you're getting an education here. I got my PhD here. right?
Yeah.
No. Through just the education of my leaders and people that taught me things. So
yeah. I absolutely love that. Well, because
I'm so glad.
Yeah, because you know, people do spend oftentimes more time at their jobs than they do at home with their families in many cases. And people really are looking for that place where, like you said, they can be unapologetically themselves. And as you mentioned, it's not just benefiting them by creating that environment. You're going to get a lot more out of your employees. And ultimately, it's going to benefit your business if you can create an environment that allows them to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, there are things I've learned along the way. And a lot of the things that I learned, it was like, yeah, don't want to do that again. And want to teach everyone that is on my team not to do those things because I, you know, let my pain be enough for all of us. And then there are also a lot of things that I learned that it's like, hey, this really works. And let me just make this a part of my leadership formula that I commit to. And this is what you know you're going to get. And this is what I know I'm going to do. And honestly, those behaviors, there's like a transference, right? There's a transference of energy and there's a transference of behaviors. And when you get the right people, we're all like a puzzle piece, right? And you get them all connected and they all have their own unique piece, but we're all connected to this bigger, greater thing. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I get up, I drive to work. I'm like, this is what I get to do.
No, I mean, I feel the same way. So I totally relate to what you're saying. Like, we've got such an awesome team here and like, you know, we just love each other. So every day coming to work, like I never am like, oh, I have to go to work today. Like, it's like, no, I get to go to work. I get to see my friends. Like I get to exactly. see my colleagues that are so talented and it just makes it that much more, you know, I'm gonna get a little emotional talking about it. Like, it just makes it awesome.
Make it awesome. And we're so blessed or, you know, fortunate, however people want to look at it, because do you know how people struggle to find their place and to find their purpose and to feel good every day is a struggle for people. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute, but
yes,
you know, that's it. But that's the reality is I always knew that from very early on finding this industry that I was very fortunate to be in an environment that I looked forward to going to, that I would get up and it's like, you're willing to do anything because it doesn't feel like a job. And it doesn't mean that every day is easy or that there aren't challenging moments, but you're just that much more willing to fight for it because it's worth it. So
yeah, certainly, yeah. Certainly.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, you know, if you could share a couple leadership learning lessons, which I think is perfectly in line with what we're kind of talking about.
Yeah. Leadership learning lessons. I think so as far as it's again, basic kind of fundamental things that you think everybody knows this or everybody does this, but they don't. And it's, you have to mean what you say and say what you mean and be consistent so that people can trust you. So that there is that, you know, when people are going to get up and fight for something, they got to believe in it. You know, I always think about what's that Mel Gibson movie where he paints his face?
Patriot, the Patriot.
There's so many good movies where you're like, I relate so deeply because that passion and that belief. But to get people to believe in me as a leader, they have to know who I am as a leader. And so again, there's no compartmentalizing. I am Amber inside my four walls. I'm Amber outside of my four walls. I'm also available. And I think that's really key. And I don't just talk to people to get to the end result. I understand that going through the process of talking to team members at whatever level, whether they're an MSR working my desk, a personal trainer, they're my porter, cleaning the floor and keeping my club sparkling so members enjoy it and come back and know how much we value the space, or if it's an above club leader, every conversation that I have with them is an opportunity for me to learn about them, how I can help them, how I can serve them. And also, you know, I learn more about the business so that I can stay relevant, because we already talked about how long I've been here. And it's very easy to become disconnected or live in that world of, oh, it was always like this, or I didn't have to do that, or that's not how I operated. Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is how we operate today and what our team members need today. So every conversation is super meaningful, not just looking to drive the outcome or get to the end result, but to actually use the communication as like an opportunity to bond, to learn, to build those relationships. I've also learned that in leadership, and this is really important for all levels of leadership, you set the tone, the tempo in your gyms, in your business. And when you walk in those front doors, you've got to leave all your stuff outside, because the way you think, the way you feel influences the way you behave, and you are responsible for a lot of people. And it is just important that when we raise our hands and we say, I want that job, I want to be a leader, I want to get promoted. Well, that's all very exciting. You know, people think about the power and the influence and the, you know, increased income and, you know, to get to say you're the boss and be the boss and have more autonomy. Yeah, that's all great. But there are a lot of responsibilities that come along with being the leader. And so you have to be willing to accept all that comes with being a leader and really lean into all of it. And another little bit of tip that I have is when you can lean into the tough stuff and learn to love that, the job really becomes so much more rewarding, right? So the things that we don't necessarily like to do as leaders, but we are required, like tough conversations, coaching and accountability, right? Setting expectations, those things that people don't always love to do, or identifying players that maybe are serving your business financially, but not behaviorally, and being able to make the right decisions for your business, for your full business. Those are just, you know, it's responsibility. And where I see people kind of falling short is like, they only want part of the job.
Yeah.
But not all of the job.
Yeah. No, very, very relatable. I mean, you know, I think back to earlier in my career and I am a very non-confrontational person. So at times I really did kind of shy away from having those conversations, or it made me really, really nervous. But, you know, The more practice that you have at it, the easier it gets. And you realize too, that like people are looking for that guidance. People don't want to not have any feedback. They want good feedback. They want negative, quote unquote, feedback. They want to know if they're, you know, yeah, they want to be held accountable. So you're actually doing them a favor by giving them your real honest opinion, by telling them, you know, where they're doing well, where they're not. And if you don't do that, then they're either going to work themselves out of the organization, or you're going to have to force them out because you haven't been truly honest.
That's right. And that's where, you know, working with my above club leaders to understand, again, going back to our responsibility. And when you are on our team, we have a responsibility to you. And there's that constant coaching, right? And so if we're coaching, we're always coaching people up. That's the goal. That's ideal. But ultimately, if you get to a place where you poured into them, you gave them everything that you could, and you know, you feel really good about it, and it's time to coach them out, either they're going to decide for themselves, or we know that this is a good time for us to be able to part ways because it's what's right for everybody. But we have to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, did we do what it takes to invest in this person to know that they're either not the right fit or to get them to where they need to be? Yes. And that's really, really important. And you are 1,000% right. I remember sitting in front of a group of like 60 yogis when I took over Yoga Works, because I ended up with 35 Yoga Works stores and I was running the full business and I came from Crunch, and I think they were all a little fearful at first, thinking I was going to like roll in with my, you know, portable pole for some yoga pole dancing. But I had to let them know that I'm adaptable. And at the end of the day, leadership is leadership. And as I got to know them, it was an incredible experience in my life. Some of the most wonderful people I've ever met. A lot of personal growth and development happened at Yoga Works. But I remember sitting in a training with my yogis, and one of the teachers raised her hand. She was new, had just gone through training recently, but had been a student for years. Her name is Mandy. And she said, you know, I'm having a hard time building my classes. And I said, well, talk to me about that. What's happening? And she said, well, I feel the need to adjust my style for the class. And I can understand that, right? And she said, so if I have people that are, you know, wanting to do more of an intense class, that's the class I lead that day. Or if I can sense that people don't really want that, I'm adjusting my style. And she said, but I'm finding that people aren't coming back. And what I explained to her was, you know, you have to know who you are and what your offering is, and be consistent in that and be patient, because the people that want what you offer will find you and they'll keep coming back for you. And she goes, yeah, I know, but I'm so uncomfortable. And I said, I understand that. I said, but think about this. When you are honest and clear in who you are, and you let people know that, people value that and understanding, and they're going to make choices for themselves. It's the same thing. I use that same example in leadership, right? We might have to go about a conversation and have a difficult conversation, but when people know who we are, they know that they can trust us. They know that we're consistent. You know what? They actually want it, because there's no mentor that ever made a direct impact on a mentee who didn't call them out and be honest about where their opportunities are. And so that we really do, we are more, I would say we're more like coaches and mentors than we are managers or bosses or even leaders, because we're all in this together, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why leading consistently is so important, and, you know, not necessarily being reactive or acting emotionally, you know, being that kind of like steady, you know, force for your team is so important, because then if you do have to give them, you know, criticism of any kind, they understand your intention is good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That you get it. We should, why haven't we talked before?
So I know. We need to do this more often for sure.
We do.
I
was looking forward to this. You know me. I mean, I've done some things with you guys before, but you know what? It really means something to me, because growing up in the industry, I read Club Solutions. I would stop by the booth at IRSA and I would look at people that were being featured or contributing to the magazine, or, you know, now there's digital options. And I would always look, and it was like aspirational of like, wow, they get to share their message. And oh, they were invited to participate in this. Like, that's so amazing. And then getting these opportunities now for me is just like, I look back at my teenage self working the front desk after losing 120 pounds, feeling like, this is my place. These are my people. And to look back at her and go, you know, hey kid, you know, you're one of those people now. Like, you get to share your message on a broader stage. You get to help people and guide more people. And it's really meaningful to me. So I just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you, Amber. That, I don't even know how to accept that compliment. That's amazing. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, continuing along the leadership theme, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given over the years on leadership?
Oh, I've been given so much advice on leadership. I think there's a really good one that is, don't tell me what you want to do. Show me what you're willing to do to make it happen or to get what you want. And that is huge, because it's all about actions, right? It's in your life when somebody says, oh, I'm sorry, or oh, I know, or I will get to that. I will do that. But what about when you just go and do it, and you go and you do it really well, and then you just keep focusing and figuring out ways to do it better? That is so powerful. And so I think as a leader, it's really about understanding what I say and what my people say, and do their actions meet their words? And it becomes very easy with that coaching piece, kind of bringing that back. If you're telling me you want a promotion, if you're telling me you want to grow, and then I share with you the path that you need to take to get there, and it's be on time, be present, be consistent, work your DLM, book your 5 appointments a day, generate your leads, clean the floor, you know, come in and be energizing and positive. And then the next day you're late. Your actions are telling me that you must not really want it as much as you're saying you do. Exactly. And so that's really great advice. Another one that's super powerful, and it's a quote, and I think it's a Winston Churchill quote, but one of my mentors shared it with me and it really resonated. And it was, and I actually heard Derek Hough from Dancing with the Stars say it too, but it was, fear is a reaction, courage is a decision. And leadership requires us to be courageous. And yesterday I had camo pants on and my Crunch sweater, and on the back it was like, no limits, with camouflage. And I'm like, I am a soldier. And I'm going to get out there and I'm going to make a difference. And I really did have that inner dialogue, but we must be courageous, right? And again, in leadership, you are leading the way, and you are responsible not only for your team members, but for your members. And we also, in our industry, I believe, have a responsibility to our community, because we have to be the example. We're saying we care about people. We're here to help people feel good, not bad. That's our campaign. But, you know, and so we have this responsibility. And to get up every day and fight the good fight when it's not easy, and when we have to implement change that maybe we don't love so much, but we have to do it because we know that it's best for the business, we must be courageous, we must be clear, we must be confident, and not fear. Not, you know, fear is natural. We can feel that for a second, right? Ooh, don't love that. But then it's holding ourselves accountable to find a way, finding our courage, putting together a plan, and getting out and leading. So I love that quote, and I think it's great advice. Do you agree? Do you love that one?
Yes, too? Yes, I do love that one. I do. Yeah. And I like what you said too about, you know, it is okay to feel fear. I think I read, like, especially this book I was reading, and they were like, what you resist persists.
Oh.
So if you're kind of resisting your emotions or like trying to like squash them, it's just going to keep, you know, coming to the top. So really the best thing to do would just be like, you know, okay, I'm allowed to feel this emotion. Maybe I am scared, but then the next step is, you know, what am I going to do about it?
Right. Exactly. And you can't live in that place of fear or anger or frustration for too long, because you know who that negatively affects more than anyone? You. And, you know, I've had leaders that I've, you know, I think back to the people now that I've had the opportunity to work with, you know, as people on my team who are now out doing incredible things, you know, running massive brands as brand presidents. And it's so amazing. I think back to when I first met them and started working with them, whether they were a membership advisor or a membership director or whatever capacity, personal trainer. And you just want to help them get out of their own way, right? And you, because when you live in that place, there's a difference and there's an understanding. And it always just goes back to accountability, personal responsibility, and mindset over matter, which is another really great leadership lesson that I've learned. It's all what we think is determines what we feel, and it determines what we do, right? So the mindset piece, but going back to the helping people get out of their own way, because you want to fight, you want to feel uncomfortable, you want to be complaining because, you know, I don't like this idea, I don't want to do that. And it's like, you not doing that is not helping you progress or move forward. So let's sit down, let's hash it out, and let's figure out how you can feel comfortable to move forward and really own this, because that's where you're going to grow. Because nothing in life is exactly like you want it all the time. And who would even want that? That would be boring, right? At least I think so. And so it's helping. So just helping people understand, right? And then the other bit of advice that I think I live by ESOM, and it's empowered state of mind. And I talk about that a lot. And I've said for years that I'm going to get it tattooed somewhere. I haven't yet, but one day it'll happen. Because over the years, you have so many choices that come your way as an individual, as a human, in your personal life and your professional life. Everything's a decision, right? You decide. If it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad because you think it's bad. But you know what? If you think it's an opportunity and it's exciting and you're going to grow from it, guess what it's going to be? Exactly that. Because it's what you decide. And a lot of people give away their power and they don't want to own that they really determine their happiness. And does it mean that, you know, people don't want more things? That takes time and effort and savings and, you know, challenges and long nights or learning and studying and all of the things that we have to do to better ourselves. Of course we have to do those things to get what we want, but it all starts with how we think about it. And so we really can determine the quality of our lives. Really?
Yeah. I love it. I'm going to go run through a wall after this conversation.
I love that. Don't hurt yourself. Don't feel terrible.
Just kidding.
I love that. I think there's something to that too, though, Rachel, because like I said, there's a transference of energy, right? Yeah. And so when you're a leader and I used to think back in the day when I was teaching soul sessions at Crunch, and soul is speak it, own it, understand it, and live it. And the it represents our core values. And I was lucky enough to travel around the country and onboard all new hires and teach them about soul. And I remember in one of my soul sessions in New York City several years ago, Mark Santamaria. Do you know who Mark is? He's wonderful. Oh. He's the vice president of group fitness on Crunch for Crunch Corporate Clubs.
Okay. I don't think I've had the pleasure of meeting him yet.
You should. He's amazing. Okay. And he has some incredible stories that he can share. But he is a dear friend of mine. He would come in and kind of co-facilitate sessions here and there, or he would ask me to, you know, bring his group fitness instructors together just to infuse them with soul and remind them of what makes us different and how we take the words and turn them into behaviors. And I remember he stood up in front of the room and he said something really profound, and it still resonates with me today. And he just said, not everyone demonstrates passion, enthusiasm, excitement the exact same way. And before he said that very simple statement, I always thought, well, if you're passionate and excited about something, it's going to look and sound like me when I'm excited. That's not realistic. And that would drive a lot of us crazy if there were too many of us running around. But The truth is there is that energy when you said the, you know, running through the wall. People say that about Jim Rowley all the time. People say that about different people within our organization because you know what? It goes back to that belief and my belief in what I'm doing. And so there, as leaders, just going back to that advice of like, if you come in and you're negative, or you come in and you don't believe, or you come in and, you know, you're Eeyore-ing it around, it is a disservice to everyone because your energy as the business leader is going to influence everyone in your club. So find that way to plug everybody in, be, you know, energized, get excited about things, get excited. You know, Gary Vee was saying, you know, we can be positive. You wake up every day and you go, gosh, I'm happy that I'm a person. You know, I could have been a rhino or a goldfish, he said. And I thought if we just woke up every day and thought, you know what? We got to be a person and you know what? And then we also get to be in the fitness industry, which makes it even better. So.
Yes. Yes. Well, Amber, I feel like I could talk to you forever, but unfortunately we don't have forever.
So likewise.
What's a final piece of advice that you'd like to share with club leaders?
Club leaders, everything starts with our people. From the very beginning of, you know, from when we're recruiting and going through the hiring process, do we know what the DNA of our team members look like? Do we know how to interview people properly to make sure that we're getting the right people in the right roles to set them up for success? Do we have thoughtful onboarding and training to support them and build that confidence in their new role and, you know, help make it a positive experience? Do we have ways that bring our values, who we are, what we stand for, what makes us different, rewards, recognition, you know, constant coaching and accountability? Do we have that type of those types of initiatives well thought out to fuel our team, to inspire our team, to set a standard of who we are and how we operate and what the expectations are? Because in our business, if we don't have the people, we don't have a business. And so my biggest bit of advice is really just getting your people right, fueling that, really committing to the things that move your business forward. And I mean, there's so many other things I could talk about too. Since we don't have time. And because this has been a theme today, I think it's important just to say, you know, it's like, and we're quick to say, oh, we did something culture related, but it didn't really work. Well, it doesn't work that way. It has to be embedded in who you are and what you do and be a part of every day, right? Yep. And people have to feel it and it should be palpable without speaking the words, but it's just through the behaviors that you know who we are and what we stand for. And that is critically important in leadership. And then all the other, you know, 5,500 things that we have to do on a regular basis, those all come into play. But if you got your people right and you've trained them right and you're supporting them and training them and holding them accountable, you know what? You can achieve great things.
Yeah. And, you know, if you are doing those things, you should have time to spend on thinking about the business and not just working in the business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because if you don't, then yeah, you're not going to be able to dedicate time to those important things. But
you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
All right.
Did you even need to interview me or could you have just interviewed yourself? Because I think you already know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. That's really sweet. No, but this is great, Amber. Thank you so much. I truly, yeah, we should have done this before.
So I appreciate the invite. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that we got to dedicate a little bit of time and then, yeah, we'll have to do some more things.
Let's keep sharing the message.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm here for it. You let me know. I'm grateful for you guys. Keep doing the great work. You're really putting a lot of wonderful spotlights on a lot of wonderful people doing great things and moving our business forward. And I'm a big fan and a big supporter. So I look forward to the next, whatever we get to do next.
Yeah. Thank you, Amber. And I'll introduce you to Taylor, my colleague too, because she's, you know, my co-pilot with Club Solutions. And
excellent.
She'll probably have some things that she'd love to do with you too. So.
Well, I'm here for it. So whatever you guys need, you let me know and let's make it happen.
Same. Okay. Thanks, Amber. I'll keep you posted.
Sounds good. Thanks. Right.
Bye.